You are listening to an ADIS Journal podcast.
Welcome to our podcast entitled Dermatologic Adverse Event Mitigation and Management Strategies with Amivantamab plus Lazertinib Therapy for Patients with EGFR Mutated Non-Small Cell Lung Cancer. My name is Danny Nguyen, and I'm an oncologist and assistant professor at City of Hope in California. I'm joined by my colleague, Dr. Edgardo Santos.
Thank you, Dr. Nguyen, for the introduction. Once again, my name is Edgardo Santos from the Oncology Institute of Hope and Innovation. I'm a clinically associate professor of medicine at Florida Atlantic University in Boca Raton, Florida.
The intent of this podcast is to briefly review the efficacy data with amivantamab plus lazertinib from the Mariposa study, including updated overall survival. We will also review the types, incidence, and severity of EGFR-related dermatologic side effects associated with amivantamab plus lazertinib. We will then discuss the reactive and prophylactic management strategies for these dermatologic adverse events, highlighting new data using prophylactic strategies based on the Cocoon study. Now for a bit of background information. Epidermal growth factor receptor, or EGFR, is involved in cell signaling pathways that control cell division and survival. It's widely expressed in normal tissues, including epithelial tissue, skin, and hair follicles, and promotes wound healing and maintains skin homeostasis. That is why inhibition of EGFR can result in cutaneous toxicities, otherwise known as on-target effects. EGFR mutations are the most common mutations in non-small cell lung cancer, most commonly the exon 19 deletion and exon 21 L858R point mutations. The frequency of EGFR mutations in patients with non-small cell lung cancer varies by ethnicity, with the highest frequency seen in Asian populations. Amivantamab is a fully human bispecific antibody that has three proposed mechanisms of action. First, it targets the EGFR and MET extracellularly, thereby blocking ligand binding. MET is oftentimes overexpressed as a resistance mechanism to current EGFR-targeted therapies. Second, it promotes receptor degradation. And third, it harnesses the immune system to promote cell death. Lazertinib, on the other hand, is a CNS-penetrant third-generation tyrosine kinase inhibitor, or TKI, that targets the EGFR receptor intracellularly, and also has activity against the T790M resistance mutation. This combination of amivantamab plus lazertinib works synergistically, is more potent than any of the therapy alone, and can overcome various resistance mechanisms. Amivantamab plus lazertinib was approved as first-line treatment for patients with EGFR-mutated, advanced, or metastatic non-small cell lung cancer in August of 2024 by the FDA, and in January 2025 by the European Commission, based on the results of the Mariposa study, which we will now review. Mariposa is a randomized phase 3 study evaluating the efficacy of amivantamab and lazertinib versus osimertinib as first-line treatment for patients with EGFR-mutated advanced non-small cell lung cancer. A total of 1,074 patients were randomized in a 2-to-1 ratio to receive amivantamab plus lazertinib, osimertinib, or lazertinib alone. The lazertinib alone arm was non-registrational and was included to study the contribution of lazertinib to the overall treatment regimen. The primary endpoint was progression-free survival, and a key secondary endpoint was overall survival. At the final pre-specified analysis, amivantamab plus lazertinib significantly improved overall survival by 25%, with a median OS not yet reached, versus 36.7 months with osimertinib. 60% of patients were alive at 3 years in the amivantamab plus lazertinib arm, versus 51% of patients for the osimertinib arm. Benefit continued at 42 months, with survival rates of 56% and 44%, respectively. In addition, amivantamab plus lazertinib also significantly improved progression-free survival by 30%, with a median PFS of 23.7 months versus 16.6 months with osimertinib. So now let's talk about the safety profile of amivantamab and lazertinib. The slide here shows any grade and grade 3 or higher adverse events associated with amivantamab and lazertinib from the Mariposa study. Most adverse events were grade 1 or 2, and the most common were paronychia, rash, and infusion-related reactions, each occurring in more than half of patients. The most common lab abnormalities were low albumin and elevated AST and ALT. In terms of onset, new adverse events, including skin reactions, typically occurred during the first 4 months of therapy. And as you can see here, new onset adverse events generally decreased over time. We know that dermatologic adverse events can impact patient quality of life and therefore treatment adherence. Now we'll move on to strategies to help prevent and manage these skin toxicities with amivantamab plus lazertinib. Skin toxicities are ongoing events, and this slide here shows the dose modification recommendations based on the amivantamab label. Supportive care, such as antihistamines, topical steroids, antibiotics, and treatment holidays, are also recommended to manage skin adverse events based on the amivantamab and lazertinib prescribing labels and the Mariposa protocol. Newer ongoing studies, such as the Copernicus study, are assessing other supportive strategies such as zinc supplementation. Rash was a common dermatologic adverse event in Mariposa, affecting 86% of patients, with grade 3 rash occurring in 26% of patients. The median time to onset was 14 days, and rash led to dose interruptions in 37%, reductions in 23%, and discontinuations in 5% of patients. The rash can be characterized as papules, pustules, itchiness, pain, and bleeding. And sometimes the rash can be more difficult to monitor in patients with darker skin tones, potentially leading to a delayed detection and treatment in these patients, and therefore increased risk of permanent sequelae. So Dr. Santos, can you share your experience with managing rash events associated with amivantamab and lazertinib treatment?
Per amivantamab and lazertinib prescribing information, it is recommended to prophylactically initiate use of alcohol-free, for example, isopropanol-free, ethanol-free emollient creams, for example, glycerin, ceramacrogol, or ceramide-based per Mariposa protocol. In addition, lifestyle measures are advised, including limiting sun exposure during and for 2 months after treatment, wearing broad-spectrum sunscreen, more than 30 SPF, protective clothing and hats, avoiding steroid use on open wounds, and avoiding frequent washing hot water. Prophylactic, topical, and oral antibiotics are also recommended. Note that only a minority, 21% of patients, were prescribed antibiotics for rash at study initiation in Mariposa. Per Mariposa protocol, strongly consider initiating antibiotic on cycle 1, day 1, and continue antibiotic therapy for the first 8 weeks, both a topical antibiotic, clindamycin, mupirocin, or fusidic acid, on sun-exposed skin, and oral antibiotic, for example, doxycycline 100 milligrams once daily, minocycline 100 milligrams once daily, or cefalexin 500 milligrams once daily. A topical corticosteroid of medium to low potency twice daily on the face and chest, for example, aclometasone 0.05% or disonide 0.05% cream may also be considered. Per amivantamab and lazertinib prescribing information, if a patient experiences grade 1 or 2 rash, it is recommended to treat with topical corticosteroid, for example, betamethasone valerate 0.05%, hydrocortisone valerate 0.2%, or disonide 0.05% for the face, and betamethasone valerate 0.1%, or triamcinolone acetonide 0.1% for the body. Treatment with systemic antibiotics can also be considered. For example, doxycycline 100 milligrams twice daily, minocycline 100 milligrams twice daily, or dosing increase if already administered. Treatment for at least 6 weeks is recommended. No dosing modification are necessary. However, the patient should be reassessed in 2 weeks. For grade 3 or 4 adverse event, consult with a dermatologist and consider addition of systemic steroid. Prednisone 0.5 milligrams per kilogram for 7 days with low doses of azathioprine or isotretinoin 20 to 30 milligrams per day. Amivantanab plus lazertinib treatment should be temporarily withheld until the rash improves to grade 2 or lower. If patient present with a severe rash, atypical appearance or distribution, or there is lack of improvement within 2 weeks, for grade 2 rash per the Mariposa protocol, promptly refer patients to a dermatologist and withhold, reduce the dose, or discontinue amivantamab and lazertinib. An additional skin-related adverse event observed in the Mariposa trial was a scalp rash, which may present as an acneiform rash consisted of erupted papules and pustules on the scalp. As indicated in the Mariposa protocol, lifestyle recommendations to prevent a scalp rash include avoiding exposure to sun. If a scalp rash occurs, it may be managed with a topical steroid shampoo, for example, clobetasol, or an anti-dandruff shampoo with anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, and antifungal property, for example, ketoconazole, selenium sulfide, Selsun, zinpyridone, Head and Shoulders, or cyclopyros, twice weekly. A steroid lotion may also be effective, for example, betamethasone valerate 0.1% lotion, mometasone furate 0.1% lotion, or betamethasone dipropionate 0.05% lotion. For acute scalp infections, systemic antibiotics, for example, doxycycline 100 milligrams twice daily, minocycline 100 milligrams twice daily, may be used. Pruritus is another dermatologic adverse event that was reported in the Mariposa study and is often reported with papular, pustular, or acneiform rash and dry skin. Pruritus was mostly grade 1 or 2 in Mariposa. Pruritus can be prophylactically managed by frequent use of moisturizer and only using detergents and soap that are fragrance-free. Currently, there is no standard treatment for EGFR TKI-induced pruritus. The Mariposa protocol provides management strategies based on severity. For cases that are grade 1, a low to moderate strength topical steroid cream, topical calcium neurin inhibitor, or topical antipruritus containing numbing agent and menthol can be used. For grade 2, the strength of the steroid cream can be increased to a moderate or high strength. A topical antipruritus containing numbing agents such as pramoxin and menthol can also be helpful for grade 2 events. An oral antipruritic agent may be initiated. For severe cases, an oral antipruritic agent is recommended along with an oral GABA agonist such as pregabalin or gabapentin. Oral corticosteroid such as prednisone can also be initiated for 5 days.
Thank you, Dr. Santos, for that information. Another skin-related adverse event observed in Mariposa study was paronychia, which present as pain, erythema, and swelling of the lateral nail folds, which progress into formation of friable granulation tissue at the nail folds, sometimes mimicking ingrown nails. The thumbs and great toes are typically affected, but any of the digits can be affected, and sometimes multiple at one time. So Dr. Santos, can you speak to the recommendations regarding the management of paronychia?
There are no approved treatments for paronychia, and recommendations are mainly based on expert opinion. Management strategies are aimed at minimizing periungual trauma, decreasing periungual inflammation, preventing superinfection, and eliminating excessive granulation tissue. As indicated in the Mariposa protocol, paronychia may be prophylactically managed by avoiding skin irritants, wearing gloves and comfortable shoes, cautioning affected areas, and applying moisturizers to nails. For patients with grade 1 paronychia, antimicrobial soaks once or twice daily, which include a warm bowl of water plus 5 ml of bleach, sodium hypochlorite, or vinegar, do not use both together, are recommended. Other recommendations include the use of topical antiseptic, povidone iodine 10% solution twice daily, and topical steroid, for example, betamethasone valerate 0.1% or clobetasole, or a topical calcium neurin inhibitor, for example, tacrolimus 0.1% twice daily. If using a topical steroid, once resolved, switch to a topical calcium neurin inhibitor daily or for maintenance, decrease to bi-weekly use. For grade 2 or 3 paronychia, consider addition of topical antibiotics or antifungal, for example, mupirocin, fusidic acid, clotrimazole, or miconazole twice daily, and oral antibiotic, for example, doxycycline 100 mg twice daily, minocycline 100 mg twice daily, or cefalexin 500 mg twice daily for at least 14 days. Consult a dermatologist or podiatrist. To summarize what we have covered so far, management of dermatologic adverse events associated with amivantamab and lazertinib is shown here in consolidated tables that can be used by medical oncologists and dermatologists to help determine appropriate treatment based on severity. One consideration is that these guidelines should be followed irrespective of amivantamab formulation. In other words, dermatologic adverse events can occur with either intravenous or subcutaneous amivantamab, as seen in the Paloma studies. Subcutaneous amivantamab is awaiting Food and Drug Administration approval.
Thank you for that, Dr. Santos. Very helpful, hopefully, for our patients and caregivers. The management strategies we have presented here so far were based on the Mariposa study and amivantamab and lazertinib prescribing information. Because we know that dermatologic adverse events can have a major impact on patient quality of life and treatment adherence, it was felt that additional prophylactic measures could help prevent some of the dermatologic adverse events seen with amivantamab plus lazertinib. Cocoon is a prospective phase 2 randomized study evaluating the impact of an enhanced prophylactic skincare regimen versus a standard of care regimen on the incidence of dermatologic adverse events in patients being treated with amivantamab plus lazertinib, the same population used in the Mariposa study. The primary endpoint of Cocoon is the incidence of grade 2 or greater dermatologic adverse events of interest in the first 12 weeks after treatment initiation. And key secondary endpoints include the number of grade 2 or greater dermatologic adverse events per patient, incidence and severity of paronychia and scalp rash, and the frequency of dose reductions and interruptions and discontinuations due to adverse events. The enhanced prophylactic skincare regimen is shown here on the slide that was used in the Cocoon study. This includes prophylactic antibiotics such as doxycycline and minocycline at 100 mg BID for the first 3 months. That's followed by topical clindamycin lotion 1% on the scalp daily before bedtime up to 12 months. Patients are then also given a chlorhexidine 4% solution applied to the fingernails and toenails once daily from the start of treatment, and a ceramide-based moisturizer applied to the face and body at least once a day. The standard of care dermatologic management regimen includes general skin care prophylaxis, as well as whatever is used by the local practice and reactive management. such as topical corticosteroids and systemic antibiotics. At the first interim analysis, with 70% of patients completing the first 12-week assessment, the Cocoon study met its primary endpoint. In the first 12 weeks, there was a statistically significant two-fold reduction in grade 2 or greater dermatologic adverse events from 76.5% to 38.6%, and grade 3 dermatologic adverse events from 8.8% down to 4.3% with the Cocoon regimen versus standard care management. When looking at the incidence at specific body locations, the Cocoon regimen resulted in an approximately 65% reduction in facial or body dermatologic adverse events, a 70% reduction in scalp rash, and a 25% reduction in paronychia. Together, these results demonstrate that the prophylactic regimen used in the Cocoon study significantly reduces the incidence and severity of skin adverse events associated with amivantamab and lazertinib treatment. The Cocoon study is now fully enrolled, with additional results planned at upcoming meetings. So to summarize, the prophylactic Cocoon regimen is shown again here. The study demonstrated that prophylactic strategies are important and can make a huge difference in preventing or limiting the severity of dermatologic adverse events with amivantamab plus lazertinib. And just note that these strategies apply to both the IV and the subcutaneous formulations of amivantamab as well. So to conclude our podcast, amivantamab plus lazertinib showed statistically significant improvement in overall survival and progression-free survival in the Mariposa study in patients with EGFR-mutated advanced non-small cell lung cancer. The prophylactic Cocoon regimen significantly reduced the incidence and severity of dermatologic adverse events with amivantamab plus lazertinib. Altogether, the recommendations provided here from the amivantamab prescribing label, the Mariposa protocol, and the Cocoon study can hopefully increase provider understanding and confidence in proactively and reactively managing these dermatologic adverse events with this regimen. We hope that these strategies will improve patient outcomes and adherence to therapy and to ultimately improve the patient experience and quality of life. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Wendt. It was a pleasure to share this podcast with you. I would like to see that this podcast help our healthcare professional in the community, in the academic practice, to manage these dermatology side effects that our patient may face if they are treated with this regimen. Thank you once again.
You can listen to more podcasts by subscribing to ADIS Journal Podcasts with your preferred podcast provider or by visiting the journal website. For a full list of declarations, including funding and author disclosure statements and copyright information, please visit the article page on the journal website. The link to the article page can be found in the podcast description.